And last Sunday, I got to learn this new game. It's called bucket golf. And the funny thing about me and games is that I'm often quite the rule follower for everyone but myself. Last night, we got a text with a picture from our kids. They were camping together, and our son said, "Somebody needs to get Maddie in check. She's cheating." We're playing a game together. How do we feel about rules? Are they comfortable guidelines that allow us to operate in the right way? Or are they things that we like to figure out, like my dog does, where the exact border and boundary is? How far can I go without getting shocked? So I have to tell you a funny little story. I don't often listen to the radio when I'm driving in my vehicle. And the other day I was driving and I had a music station on, and there was a song on that I have heard maybe 50 times. And I finally realized that I had the lyrics completely wrong. Metallica, "Sad But True." And I was like, oh, that's what they're singing. I had no idea. It was so familiar, it was actually foreign and wrong. We've been walking through the Ten Commandments, speaking of foreign and sometimes getting them wrong. And so this morning we're going to be looking at the next commandment, which is actually the longest commandment of the Ten Commandments. It's in page 150. We're going through the Deuteronomy version of the Ten Commandments. If you're more of an Exodus person, Exodus chapter 20. Again, it's on page 150. Deuteronomy chapter 5, verses 12 through 15. It says this: "Observe the Sabbath day to keep it holy, as the Lord your God commanded you. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter or your male servant or your female servant or your ox or your donkey or any of your livestock, or the sojourner who is within your gates, that your male servant and your female servant may rest as well as you. You shall remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out from there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath day." And just like Lee does every Sunday, such a brilliant segue by singing Egypt, and then we're talking about the Ten Commandments and the Israelites coming up out of Egypt. And it's important for us to understand the context of what's happening here, because oftentimes when we think about the Ten Commandments, we just think about them in complete isolation rather than where they sit functionally within the life of the nation of Israel. And one of the things that we've been trying to do is look at what do the Ten Commandments tell us about who God is and the character of who God is. So as this part of the Ten Commandments points out, the nation of Israel was in slavery, as we just sung about, in Egypt. God has delivered them through the Red Sea. They're getting ready to set up the promised land. And God says, this is how you shall function as a family and as a nation together. And so these are rules for how the group is going to live together. And it's very important, again, for us to remember that, because when we talk about the Sabbath and we talk about the importance of the Sabbath, we don't put it within the context of what it would have looked like to have been a slave in a foreign land where there were no days off. You're a slave. And I love part of this is the instruction to the parent. Like, if you're a kid in here right now, this is a commandment that you want to memorize and remind your parents. Remember, God commanded you that I shall not work 7 days a week. Now, next week when we talk about honoring your parents, that's a whole other commandment that we also cannot forget. But let's check this out. It says this: "Observe the Sabbath day to keep it holy as the Lord your God commanded you." And it's important to talk about this importance, this word holy, because holy doesn't mean pure, it means set apart. Now, there is loads, I mean, copious amounts of writing about the Sabbath. And this word kadosh, which is the Hebrew word for holy, says that it is set apart. It is unique. The people of God are to be set apart. They are to be holy. So of all of the days of the week, there's six of these other days when you can do whatever you want. On this day, you shall set it apart. It shall be holy. Why is that? Well, if we go back to the beginning and God creates things in the beginning of Genesis, and it's interesting because what does God do on the sixth day? This isn't a quiz. He creates humanity. And then on the seventh day, he rests. So AJ Swoboda and EJ Gupta, they have this wonderful podcast called Slow Theology, and they point this out, and it's something that I had never really thought about. Man gets created on the sixth day in Genesis, and the first thing God tells the human beings to do is what? Let's take a day off, right? Let's take a day off because it's most important for you and I to carve out time and space to be together. Because the God we talk about in Scripture is a God who loves. He intimately loves the relationality of the human beings that he's created. And he didn't create us to work all the time. He created us to be in relationship. He's like, I've done the work. There's 6 days to work. Yeah, that's all good. But the most important thing that the human beings in the garden are told is we should spend time together. Now, again, as we talk about this Sabbath concept, I am well aware that we come with a variety of concepts and experiences around the Sabbath. Some of us come from a place of legalism, and some of us come from a place of license. My friend, whose name is Jerry, but it's not really Jerry because I don't want his parents to watch this and him to get in trouble, he grew up near the Iowa-South Dakota border, so some of you may already know where this story is going. And he grew up in a home where the Sabbath was militant. There were very harsh restrictions about what you could and couldn't do on the Sabbath. And he talks about how he would have to sit in his living room and listen to his friends outside playing. And this vision that he got of a restrictive, punitive God that wouldn't want him to be out enjoying the goodness of creation. Now, we can take that to the exact opposite, and we can say, oh, yeah, basically God has built in a vacation day every week, and we should just do whatever we want because God wants us to just eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow you will die, and all those things. And it's like, okay, those two polar opposites, or ditches, as Swoboda and Gupta talk about, are the extremes which we don't want to fall into. And the sweet spot is somewhere, obviously, right in the middle. I call it the Goldilocks paradigm. Not too hot, not too cold, right in the middle. So, God is instructing the Israelites. He says, this is what I would like you to do. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. Now, I think I've realized that it's about between age 39 and 42 that you move into the progressive commercial state of these kids these days. When I was a kid, we worked all the time, and we did this and we did that, and these kids these days, they just don't want to work. Remember last week when we gave a lot of amens? Some of you just really never have given an amen anytime, and you just wanted to say amen, that's right. It's not that God says, I'm a God who doesn't value hard work. He's like, no. You're going to do the work. That is a given. You're an agrarian people. You're going to have to do a bunch of work. So this is not God saying, in my kingdom, my people are not going to work. He's saying, you're going to get to work plenty. But also, the most important thing is to remember to delight and to rest. He says, the seventh day is a Sabbath day to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work. Kids, this is your part. You or your son or your daughter. Employees, this is your part. Or your male servant or your female servant. For the animals that are here or aren't here, your ox or your donkey or any of your livestock, or the sojourner who is within your gates, that your male servant and your female servant may rest as well as you. God is a God who desires us to be in relationship. Because it's not, again, where God's gonna get to do things and then we're going to have to do all the work. God's going to take a break, we're going to work, or the homeowner's going to take a break and the kids are going to work, or the kids are going to take a break and the servants are going to work, or the servants are going to take a break and the animals are going to have to do their work. It's that God desires for this harmonious existence to take place. Because the thing that I haven't mentioned is that the word Shabbat is a verb. To Sabbath is to do something. And it's to delight in the goodness. Because remember, God has just delivered the people from the bondage and slavery of an oppressive ruler. And in the same way, we who are found in Christ have been freed. We have been freed from the grips of this world. We have been freed from the hamster wheel that society tells us to get back on. We have lived in bondage to the things of the world, the ways of the world, the lies of Satan. And we have been freed in Christ so that when we get to come together and when we get to choose to celebrate, we celebrate in immense freedom. Because that is how God has set this thing up. And that's why next week when we have this baptism thing, it's a celebration of the acknowledgement of coming out of the waters of death, or like the Israelites, coming out of the waters of the Red Sea into the freedom in Christ. I had said that I was going to do such a good job at regulating my volume. This is me internally turning my volume down. And it's a totality of rest. Because we all know, much like my eyebrow hairs, the more we work the list, the longer the list gets. You get a stray eyebrow hair, you think you've plucked it out, and 2 days later you got a longer eyebrow hair. That is the list of life we live. Guess what? The list is never getting done. It's not. Even folks in retirement are like, I'm busier now than when I had a job. And a bunch of amens just were said silently by all of the conservative, you know, Minnesotans. We buy into the lie of Satan that says we could get the list done. We are so important that we can keep doing this. And God says, no, remember who I am. I got this. And I have to confess, of any theological topic that I've wrestled with more in my life, this is it. Like if we were playing Family Feud of my life and the theological struggles that I've had, this would be, survey says, number one answer. Because it's amazing how I convince myself that I know more than God does and that I'm so important that if I were to cease doing things, somehow the world would collapse. And then I enter into a calling that gives me permission, or at least I've told myself, it gives me permission to disobey what God has asked me to do. Because I see it as a curse, and God says, no, 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 this is a blessing. This is a blessing. He says, I can do all the work. I don't need you to do the work, Eric. I need you to be with me, to enjoy me, to be and celebrate me. He says, you shall remember that you were a slave. We shall remember that we were once people of the world, and when we are in Christ, we're no longer a slave. But again, we get just, it's so easy, right? Because we swim and bathe in this world that tells us, do more, be more, get more. And just like Satan in the garden, twisting the words of God to Eve and tempting Jesus in the wilderness, we get tempted all the time to have a distorted view of who God is and what he wants to do in us, with us, and through us. John Mark Comer, in his book, Ruthless Elimination of Hurry, says I'm reading off the paper, just say the words. He says, Sabbath is a way of working from rest, not for rest, with nothing to prove. From rest, not for rest, a way of bearing fruit from abiding, not ambition. One of my best friends growing up, Adam, he would say, do you live to work? Or do you work to live? And I know we have this immediate allergic reaction. Yeah, but when am I going to get all this stuff done? Spoiler alert, we're not. Oh, but no, I really enjoy doing this. This is my trick. No, I really enjoy spending 5 hours cutting and splitting and stacking wood. So therefore, God wants me to delight in the joy of destroying trees and creating an altar of trees in my yard. No, that's a joke. That was a joke. We need wood to burn in our stoves and all that sort of thing. Therefore, God actually wants me to do all this work. And then I wake up on Monday morning and I'm like, oh, I'm more tired than I was the day before. And it's amazing how I can convince myself of ways that I can bend and twist and tweak like Odysseus, right, in the Odyssey, the bow of God's will, so that I can be in control. And we miss out on who God is. He desires for us to enjoy and delight in him. And so when we think about this day that he says to create as a set-apart day, we miss it. And many people talk about the Ten Commandments. And not one of us would contend that murdering is wrong, or, you know, envying is wrong, or having other gods is wrong. And yet, how often do we convince ourselves and each other, God didn't really mean that the Sabbath was that important, right? Like, yeah, murder, that's bad. Sabbath, that's a flexible thing. Because, I mean, does God realize how important all the things that I have to do on this day that I have chosen to not carve out as holy is? A.J. Swoboda says this in his book, Subversive Sabbath, that I read literally 6 years ago. This is the timeline of me. I learned something and it takes me some time to actually apply it to my life. He says, we do not work to please God. Rather, we rest because God is already pleased by the work he has accomplished in us. How amazing is that? That God is so pleased in us that he says, you don't have to work to make yourself more pleasing to me. I am a God who loves you no matter what. Again, so hard for me, this value of hard work and proving that my worth is in the product that I put out, so that what I can ignore God's commandment in my life to delight and to rest, and I can just run right back into the slavery of the world, and I can tell God, God, the 9 commandments, sure, this commandment doesn't matter to me, because if I don't do X, Y, and Z, I will be less than. And he says, no. No. Our value is not in what we produce. Our value is in who we are and whose we are. And God creates these 10 commandments, and right in the middle, the biggest commandment, the bridge commandment that isn't a do not, it's a do this. He says, what I want of you most in your relationship with me and your relationship with others is to remember how much I love you, and it's not about what you produce. So that we can take a day and carve it out and make it holy. We can, as Pete Scazzaro says, we can stop and we can rest and we can delight in who God is. And it's not about sloth. It's not about binge watching all the shows. It's not about doing nothing. It's about delighting in who God is. And this is such a challenge. Again, I've been trying this for like 7 years to figure this out. And about 18 months ago, 2 years ago, when Nikki and I started doing this, she would look at me on the couch on our patio and she would say, "You are so bored." And I would look at all the things that I could be doing. And it was like, no, I'm resting in the Lord. And I'm having a hard time. And that's where we can get creative. God doesn't say it has to be exactly like this. There's actually not a lot of parameters around the Sabbath. God is a God who gives us immense freedom. The question is, will we accept his plan for us, humanity, to be in relationship with him, to delight and to rest and to enjoy the goodness, acknowledging that he has done all the work that needs to be done? And I can attest, it is so hard to get started. So maybe it looks like 5 to 5. Maybe it looks like once a month. I don't know what it is for you. And because there's no communion benediction, I have to say it now. We're going to take a minute, and we're going to just ask God, based on this text and all that I have heard about who you are and the desire that you have for me, what does it look like for me to live in obedience to the gift of Sabbath in my life? I could tell you some things, but I'm not you and you're not me. And the Holy Spirit is fully capable of telling us what we should be doing. So let's take a minute and then I'll close this in prayer. Father God, we come to you today on this day that we carve out as the Sabbath, the Sunday. And God, I just continue to confess and repent of how I have ignored your call in my life to keep this day as a set apart day. And just as the Israelites were freed from slavery in Egypt, you have freed us from the bondage of the sin in our lives, not to more work, not to a different slavery, but to freedom and rest and delight in you. So Holy Spirit, I just pray this morning that you would continue to drive home the reality of the goodness of who you are and the desire that you have for us to experience freedom through your Son, Jesus Christ, And then to experience and delight in the freedom of the Sabbath each and every week. In Jesus' name, amen.